What's up, everybody? It is Wednesday. My name is Big G. This is The Brutal Truth. Let's go. Hello, everybody. I would say happy Wednesday, but it is not a happy Wednesday. It is a sorrowful Wednesday. Gail, the Kansas Comet Sayers, has died last night at the age of 77. He was an outstanding running back. He had about five seasons, and then he had some knee injuries and had his time cut short. But in those five seasons, he rushed for 4,956 yards and 39 touchdowns. He also returned six kickoffs for touchdowns with an average of 30 yards per return. He also returned two punts for touchdowns with an average of 14.5 yards per return. He retired at 1971. Due, like I said, to those knee injuries. And in 1977, he was elected into the Hall of Fame at the age of 34. He was one of the youngest ever to be inducted into the Professional Football Hall of Fame. I'm sure he will be greatly missed. And those of you who got to see him play, I'm not sure if you guys listen to podcasts or not, but if you do, he was, from what I could tell from everybody who's told me, was an outstanding running back. He will be severely missed by all of football. And this is one of those things, like I was talking about the other day, that when football is impacted in a way, it doesn't matter, in a negative way, it doesn't matter who your team is, who you root for, whatever. I'm sure Packers fans right now are sorrowful for the fact that Gale Sayers has passed at the age of 77, because no matter what you come from, no matter what team you root for, on Sundays when something like this happens, it negatively impacts the rest of us. Gale Sayers, you'll be truly missed. RIP, man. And you were it, man. You showed everybody how to play ball that way. So moving on here to some less sorrowful but still not very great news, but still kind of good news. It's like that fence rider news. The Notre Dame-Wake Forest game will be held December 12th. It was supposed to be Saturday, but it will be held December 12th due to seven positive COVID tests and 13 players being quarantined off the Notre Dame team. So because of all of that, they will be rescheduling that game. It was supposed to be, I guess, like the quote-unquote real kickoff for college football, because it was the first real game, because anybody who needs to know, college football normally starts out with some, you know, random state team or like community college to play, so they can get a win under the belt, feel good going into the, you know, going into the actual season. So it'll be rescheduled to December 12th. Also getting another positive update, if you can kind of see the trend, we're starting at the bottom with the sad news, and we're going to work our way up to good and better news. There's nothing really good necessarily in any of these news until we start getting the statistics. So right now we got an update on Tyrod Taylor, and this puzzle is now starting to finally come full circle and show us really what happened on Sunday and where we are and why people were saying things the way they were saying them. So Tyrod Taylor on Sunday had a punctured lung. When the team doctor was administering drugs to him, they punctured his lung. So recap for those of you who may not have caught my other shows. What happened was Tyrod Taylor started the game. He was on the injured list for a rib injury. He was having problems breathing and chest pains. They rushed him to the hospital, and then that's kind of where our story ended. I reported yesterday that I had read on ESPN that there was something went wrong with his injection. We kind of all figured that it was adverse reaction to his the drug that they were giving him for painkillers for his ribs. Turns out it was just a doctor missing where he was trying to put it, and he punctured his lung. Also, what this kind of, you know, brings full circle as to why the head coach for the Chargers, Anthony Lynn, was backing Taylor so hardcore. He was, you know, he's coming back. As soon as he comes back in 100, he's our starter. Because if he would have benched him after, you know, Herbert's showing, then he would have had a lot of problems, because it was that team that caused him to not play on that Sunday. And the way the game was played could have potentially still been the same for Tyrod Taylor. Who knows? So he will more than likely, as soon as he's healthy, from what Anthony Lynn is saying, come back and be the starter. That being said, we don't know how long he'll be out. A punctured lung is a real thing. It's a dangerous thing. It's something that can kill you. Obviously, you all probably know that. So they're probably going to take it easy. They're probably going to let Herbert play for a little bit longer. So there's a good chance we see him on Sunday. Again, nobody really knows until the time comes. For all I know, his punctured lung may be fine, and it may not be as bad as it sounds, but I'm going to go ahead and assume the worst and say he's not playing, and we'll see Herbert on Sunday. Again, all up in the air still. No one said anything yet, but as soon as they do, I'll make sure to let you guys know. Also, swapping over here gears real quick over to basketball. I found this out yesterday. I found this just as disturbing and messed up as the person that is reporting this or has done the act that they have done. I find it messed up in many levels. Coming from a military background, this is something you don't do. You make sure you alert families and things of that nature. So what happened was Vanessa Bryant, the widow of Kobe Bryant, who died in the helicopter crash on January 26th, has filed a lawsuit against LA County Sheriff's Department. When I first read this, I was like, well, that's kind of weird. What did they do? And then I looked into it further, and it says that they were sharing graphic photos with people, not necessarily friends, potentially friends, family. I don't think they were posting it online, but they were sharing these photos that before Vanessa and the rest of the Bryant family had got a chance to see and take care of it and do the things they wanted to do first. And that's just not something you do. I have this problem with media as a whole, not just the LA County Sheriff's Department and not just social media, but the media also does this. Like I said, coming from a military background, I've seen my family, most of my family in the military or has been in the military, that I've heard multiple stories of people getting carried by on stretchers and them trying to just put the camera in this person's face and people thinking that it's their significant other, husband, things like that, or knowing that it's their husband. So that's something that should never happen. You shouldn't find out through CNN that your husband got shot in Afghanistan. You shouldn't find out that LA County Sheriff's Department or any police department was sharing pictures of your husband's death, no matter what your society ranking is, whether you're Kobe Bryant or you're a homeless guy on the street and they actually found out that you have a daughter or some form of family. There's no room for that. That's disrespectful. It's distasteful. It's just downright wrong, honestly. Like I said, if you want to take those pictures and you are the first responder, that is something that I believe you should be able to do for a learning thing. But you shouldn't be taking pictures of specific things and graphic things and then sharing them with people. It is meant to be. And you also would have to ask and make sure ask the Bryant family, say, hey, we have these pictures. This is something we're wanting to use as a training tool for our sheriffs. Is this something that is okay for us to do? Yes or no? And again, it shouldn't be on your personal phone. It should be on the camera that comes from the sheriff's department. So this, like I said, it puts a bad taste in my mouth. And with everything going on with police right now, this is just one extra thing to make, the police officers look bad. And I'm not saying anything against Vanessa. Miss Bryant, by all means, go ahead. You deserve this justice. They were in the wrong. Take them to the fullest accountability measure that you can. That being said, we're going to go ahead and move on here real quick to some interesting news. It kind of goes hand in hand with things that's going on in the world. I'm not 100% in agreement with this, but we'll talk about that here in just a second. The first thing is here we got Danny Hamlin and Michael Jordan have came together with Bubba Wallace to create a NASCAR team. Correction, you heard me correct. The Basketball Hall of Famer legend Michael Jordan and Danny Hamlin have came together and are making a NASCAR team with Bubba Wallace as one of their drivers. Bubba Wallace is an African-American NASCAR driver who, I guess if you guys can remember, a couple months back, potentially thought he found a noose in his garage. And then that whole fiasco there, I'm glad I wasn't recording a podcast on that and had to report that, because that would not have been fun at all or interesting at all for anybody. It would have just made everybody angry. But anyways, so they're going to do this with the intent of making it a majority black team. So those of you who don't know NASCAR very well, what it means by a team is you have a driver who's basically your quarterback, and then you have your supporting cast, which is basically your wide receivers, your linemen, things of that nature, and your coaches. So they have actual NASCAR I guess you would call them coaches to an extent. They're spotters, I guess. And they have a little booth, and they sit up there, and they talk to the driver and let them know, hey, you know, 32's coming up on your backside, left side high, you know, keep an eye on him, you know, things like that. They talk in their constant communication with these drivers to let them know what's going on in and around their area. Then you have your pit crews, who I'm sure you all know, that come out and change tires, put gas, check things, you know, pull parts off. If they got a fender that's messed up, they pull that off real fast and send them back out. And what it's saying is those people will be a majority black or African-American people. That being said, I don't think this is the correct method. I was reading about it, and they were saying, you know, that African Americans had a hard time getting into, NASCAR and things of that nature. And I don't feel that secluding yourself into a team is the right move in my mind. If you're going to be doing something like that, maybe I would give money and get, you know, African American kids, young adults, men into racing, so that they can be coming into racing. Maybe put a rule in, just like the NFL, where you have to have X amount of African American people on your team and your coaching staff. Those are all things that are rules in the NFL, and maybe that is something that NASCAR should look into. But I don't think secluding yourself into a team like that is correct. I think integrating, whenever you think integrating, isn't just, you know, we're going to put these people with these people in their little separate areas. I'm thinking integrating, they need to all be in there. I can't tell you why African Americans don't race as much. There's no rhyme or reason behind it. And again, that's not what this podcast is about, is me to guess things like that. So again, coming from me, I don't agree with this. I think it's awesome that they are doing it, though. I think it's awesome that they are trying to make an effort to put more African-American people, you know, maybe some Hispanic people in the future, Asian, whatever race, okay? Because I don't care, all right? If you can win, that's what I want. If I'm a Chevy fan, okay, when it comes to NASCAR, I'm a Chevy fan. So if you can put somebody in a Chevy and they can win, I don't care. I wouldn't even look at I'd see your name. I'd see the car you drove. That's all I care about. I don't even care about your name. I see the car you're driving. I see you are driving a Chevy. I am Team Chevy. So again, I think it's awesome that they're trying to do this. I hope that it kind of catches on and that NASCAR sees this and addresses the situation at hand, and tries to bring in more African American and people and Hispanics, Asians, things of that nature. I hope that this shows, hey, let's do it. We're ready. Let's go. Why are we still, you know, I don't want to say living in the past, but I mean, to an extent, living in the past, because I'm not a big NASCAR guy. I don't know exactly how NASCAR works. I normally watch one race a year. The Daytona 500 I try to watch every February. So that being said, like I said, I think it's awesome they're doing this. I don't agree with the way they're doing it, but I do think that it is a good thing that they are doing. They're doing this, and I think that Bubba Wallace is a good guy to put in there because he's a decent racer. You know, he doesn't win all the time, but he's up there quite a bit. So all of that being said, those are all the top stories we got for today. We got MLB and NFL coming up here real fast. So let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we will switch over to the MLB and talk about these upcoming playoffs.
What's up, everybody? Big G here. Just letting you guys know our Twitter's up and going, our Facebook's up and going, and our email is still out there. So you can go find us on Twitter at The Brutal Truth. The picture on all three or on both of our outlets are the exact same as a picture on our podcast with Dale Earnhardt, Michael Jordan, Walter Payton, Wayne Gretzky. So you got Twitter, at The Brutal Truth. You got Facebook, The Brutal Truth, also got the same picture. You got email, thebrutaltruth.19@gmail.com. Make sure you get on there and email us any questions you might have, anywhere from ranging of fan mail, the questions you want me to answer on the podcast, or if you want to advertise with us or anything of that nature, if you want to support us, go ahead and email us at thebrutaltruth.19@gmail.com. Let's get back to the show.
Alrighty, we got the MLB, some addition here. I told you I wouldn't be talking about it quite a bit, but MLB and the teams in there had some different ideas for me. So, three players in the NL have clinched a spot in the playoffs now. We got the Braves, the Cubs, and the Padres have all clinched their new clinched a spot in the playoffs. We still have a couple of teams that are still searching for their playoff spot. We have the Reds, the Cards, and the Marlins are all still looking for their playoff spot. With that being said, we also, the Phillies, have been bumped out. The Phillies had a two-game doubleheader yesterday of seven innings. The first game, they lost 5-1 to the Nats. And the second game, they lost 7-8. Also to the Nats. So they are now out for the time being, and the Brewers have now slipped into that eight spot. So that being said, the Brewers will be playing the Dodgers, who have won their division and has secured their number one seed in the NL playoffs. So they will not be moving. So the NL, the top of the NL right now is the Dodgers, will more than likely be the Dodgers, and they will potentially play, again, the Brewers, potentially the Phillies. It just kind of depends. There's still a decent amount, I think five games left before we have to be, 100% locked in on who's going and who's not. There's magic numbers and stuff like that, but I decided not to get into all of that to see who all is going to win, who all is not going to win. I think the Cardinals have to win six games because it just all kind of depends on, the Cubs clinched a spot with a loss. So, I mean, it just all depends on who's playing, when they're playing, but the people that are for sure in now are the Braves, the Cubs, and the Padres, who I believe, now that I'm looking at yesterday's notes, have already clinched. So the Cubs and the Braves have clinched now. So that still leaves the Reds, the Cardinals, the Marlins, and now the Milwaukee Brewers to come up to clinch a spot and be able to play in and for a spot of the World Series. So that's all we got real quick here for baseball. We're going to hop on over, and we have the Battle for Florida coming up on Thursday. So real quick break, and then we'll go right on over to there.
Hey, you over there. Looking, yeah, you right there looking to advertise your business, you can stop. Put everything away. Don't worry about it. I got you. All right, look, here's what you want to do. You want to go ahead and advertise with podcasts. My podcast show right now goes to 10 different outlets for people to listen to. I have people from the UK listening. I have people from Canada listening. I have people from the United States listening, all over the United States. So go ahead and just come on over. There's a guy, really handsome, smart, funny guy, having a show called The Brutal Truth. All right, so come out here and get sponsored with The Brutal Truth. How you get sponsored with The Brutal Truth is you email the guys at The Brutal Truth. You email them at thebrutaltruth.19@gmail.com. Give them an email. Get set up with them. Let them help you out. You guys get started advertising and recording today.
Okay, I hope everybody gets buckled in and is ready to go, because we have the Battle for Florida coming up tomorrow. We have the 0-2 Miami Dolphins and the 1-1 Jacksonville Jags. We have Beard versus Stash. We have Minshew Mania versus Fitzmagic. Okay, these teams are pretty, besides their records, I feel they're pretty even, so we're hoping for a really good, decent ish low scoring game. I'm thinking 20 or less points will be scored. We have the offense from Miami is the 22 overall, and their passing is 17th overall, and their rushing is 27th overall. That being said, the Jacksonville Jaguars defense is 23rd overall. The Jacksonville Jaguars offense is 20th overall, with a passing of 21st overall and a rushing of 12. 12th in the league. These are all compared to the rest of the NFL. The Miami defense is 30th overall for defense. There's two major injuries here that I think are going to contribute to both of these. Jacksonville Jaguars, they played the Tennessee Titans last week, and they only held they held the running back for Tennessee, King Henry, to very, very short yards. He didn't gain very many yards at all, if I can recall correctly. So their run defense is very, very stout. Now, That being said, with a run defense that is as stout as them, they are decent. He actually had 84 yards, but it took him 25 attempts. So they did very good handling King Henry, not letting him get over 100 yards. That being said, on the same hand, their pass is not that great. Ryan Tannehill tore him up through the air last week, which led them to their first loss. So with all of that, it's you know, going over here real quick to Miami. Miami's pass defense was decent against the Buffalo Bills. It wasn't great, but it was decent. Josh Allen still had a really good game. But their big thing was their run was also okay. Again, nothing out of these teams are outstanding. They're just all all right. They played the Bills and they held them to 56 yards rushing. Allen did throw for 417 yards. So the air offense for these two, or defense for these two teams, aren't very good. So Gardner Minshew has an opportunity here, but in the same hand, Fitzmagic has a better opportunity. Not better, but also has the same opportunity to pass through the air. The big thing on this is going to be, I believe, who can control the clock. That being said, James Robinson had his first 100-yard game against the Titans, a very stout Titans defense. With all adding that into a run defense that's not that good, I think that they're going to be able to run whenever they want, and their rushing offense is 12th in the league right now. So they have one center who's injured, and he's not out necessarily for the game, but he is on the injury report. The Jags also have Chark, which to me is a big loss for Gardner Minshew. That's his number one target that he likes to go to, who's injured. But on the same hand, Miami has Byron Jones, one of their better corners out there, who is injured and won't be out there playing as well. So, I mean, it's a pretty good split. Like I said, I think that it's going to come down to who can control the clock the most. And with a run game, it's easier for you to control the clock as much. And with a run defense like Jacksonville has, Miami's going to have a hard time running the ball because they already have a hard time running the ball because they don't really have a decent running back in the backfield. So it's going to be a very close game. I'm hoping that there's a lot of hype for this game. I know nobody in their right mind thinks that there's going to be hype for a 0-2 Miami Dolphins team and a 1-1 Jacksonville Jaguars team. But with Gardner Minshew and Ryan Fitzpatrick, you can't not have a lot of hype. You can't not be excited for these two characters to go at it. I mean, they're both just, I mean, the smack talk that I was watching today, Ryan Fitzpatrick was talking about how, you know, Gardner Minshew can't grow a full beard, so that's why he's got a mustache and he gets patchy spotches. And I mean, it's just stuff like that because they're characters. They're two characters. They're good characters too. I mean, Marcus Peters is a character, but he's like not a good character because he's mouthy, like mean mouthy, not like, you know, joking around, you can't grow a beard because it's patchy. He's like, I'm respecting my elders, you know, who are way older than me, calling, you know, Fitzpatrick an old man. That's the kind of back and forth that I like, you know. Things like that is good. It's healthy. It keeps it going, a little in-state rivalry here. So I think that it's going to be a very good game, but I think that Jacksonville will honestly end up taking this one by 3 to 10 points extra, and I'm looking at probably under 30 points scored by each team. Not necessarily because their defenses are that good, but because their offenses are not that good, and because their defenses are good enough, if that makes any sense at all. So because their offenses aren't very great, it makes their defense look even better than they actually are. So I believe with the injuries and everything like that, and again, these guys are not out. Byron Jones is not ruled out yet. Again, from what I was reading on NFL.com, he is not out. DJ Chark is also not out as of right now. Now, that can change overnight. That can change to tomorrow. That can change to whatever we got going on. But as of right now, that's the way it looks. So we have a pretty decent game on our hands coming to Thursday to start our football week off. Tomorrow we will probably go over some college games coming up, as long as they don't get canceled. So football's been getting back in swing. It's like an old school 1800s locomotive taking off, you know, chugging along, you know, trying to get that wheel grip going on the rails, and then all of a sudden it's going to be going full bore here. And I'm excited about it. So this Thursday night, we got the battle for Florida, Beard versus Stash, Magic versus Mania. It's going to be outstanding. I hope it's a good game. I hope it's not a blowout. So far, the NFL has not disappointed in games that I'm hoping that are close or upsets. So I think it's going to be a good one there. All right, everybody, I have talked about everything that I'm going to be talking about today. So that's it for the Brutal Truth today. I'm Big G. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, make sure you guys get out there and subscribe to our channel. Make sure you get our social media up and spread the word about us. Let's get out there. We're trying to get this show going big so I can get out there and give you guys more information and more of the Brutal Truth that's needed in the world today. So go ahead and get out there. Share us, like us, subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Music and whatever you may be listening to us on, so we can keep this show going. Appreciate you guys. Have a great Wednesday, and we'll see you all next time.
What's up, everybody? Big G. It's that time of the show where I get to do my shout outs. I will always shout out to my wife and my family and friends first. Shout out to them for giving me the time to do this and backing me on this and helping me with everything that they helped me with. Also, shout out to ESPN, USA Today, NFL.com, MLB.com, NBA.com, NHL.com, and all those other sports outlets that I get all my stuff from, Forbes.com today. Shout out to those guys for doing all the hard work they do to get the information out here so that I can get it back out to you with my special little twist of my opinion and the brutal truth of it. So shout out to all those guys. Shout out to you guys for listening. Remember, make sure you send your fan mail in so we can get some fan mail going on Fridays. We'll see y'all next tomorrow.